Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's your main man, Jonah, here, Sunday, 9:13 p.m. And normally, when there's a long break in between episodes, it's because I'm smoking dope. But not this time. Still clean. Day 7. What is up, mother effers? Listen, it's late. I should not be podcasting. The problem is, I left you guys hanging. I was at the beach. You know, I left all my stuff behind. I threw it away. Boo-hoo-hoo. You know, I'm still drinking a little bit, but that's fine. Anyway, I have left the beach, made it home, about to leave tomorrow to go to the White Mountains. Yes, you heard me, the White Mountains of New Hampshire for a backpacking trip. It's going to be 4 days, going to hike in, hike a full day, hike out. Bang, bang, bang. Should be good. Should be a lot of fun. A little nervous about my back. For those of you who don't know, I have a bulging disc. They wanted to do a spinal fusion. Listen, nobody's touching my back with a scalpel unless I physically cannot move myself. And at that time, I could move. I was using a little cane, using my wife's arm. You know, I was shuffling around. There's not a chance somebody's going to do that. And praise the Lord above, it has worked out. I am not completely healthy. My back still hurts right now. I'm going to have to zap it with a TENS unit. I'm going to go with 4 electrodes tonight. I'm going to go stack them, you know, 2 on the left, 2 on the right. Love that thing, man. Talk about a neat little device, especially for under $50. But I'll be zapping myself, and I'm going to bring it on the trail, too, because this is kind of I wouldn't say it's the first big test, because hunting season last year was a big test for my back. But this is definitely going to be the biggest test, I guess, up to this point. And unfortunately, I did not do my back PT yesterday or the day before. Just all that travel and lots of excuses. Don't know what was up. It's because I felt so good, probably. Now today I was feeling a little off, and I was feeling cranky today. I'm going to be honest with you guys, feeling cranky. Could be the fact that, you know, now finally coming down, I expected to feel a lot worse day 5. Typically day 4, day 5, for those of you who are trying to quit, maybe you're only on day 1. That's kind of when the grumpy sets in. Most people who email me say, oh yeah, getting grouchy, getting pretty hard to be around. Not the case for me, and that could be because I was drinking. But believe it or not, the last time you listened to me, if you were listening to the most recent episode, I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to drink. And then you know what I did? I got so cocked so fast that I couldn't even come downstairs for dinner. I completely blacked out, woke up in the morning on the floor, on the mattress on the floor. And my wife, unfortunately, was suffering on a shitty mattress on a bunk bed. And, you know, apparently the family was wondering where I was, this, that, and the other thing, because I was upstairs watching Scrubs. Not great. Not great at all. And so, what have we learned from this? What's the takeaway? Okay, so Jonah, the main man here, he can avoid being addicted to alcohol, or not avoid being addicted, but he's not addicted to alcohol, so that's good. But he can't drink responsibly. Maybe you've listened to an episode before where I got super drunk with a bunch of teachers. Not a good time there either. Drove myself home. That irritated the most people. And that's not a safe thing to do either. So I didn't drink after that. I don't know what day that was. Tuesday, maybe. Tuesday, Wednesday. But that was it. Last drop of alcohol to pass my lips. I took a tiny sip of my wife's drink. And I was like, ugh! Not a chance. Not a freaking chance. And I got good news. Good news, baby. Shrooms. My boy got a hold of some shrooms. I'm going to be heading off. I'm going to meet him. He's living in New York City, Manhattan, trying to find his way through the world. This dude, he's a son of a Baptist preacher. He used to live in a trailer on a dead-end road in the boondocks, baby. I'm talking the boondocks. And he and I were homies from way back. You know, I saw him, met him when he was lifeguarding. He's 16. And he's a stud. He's jacked. I'm like, dude, do you know how big you are? You could be a bodybuilder. Oh, really? You think so? Because this guy, you know, he's homeschooled. He didn't know what was going on. And so there, we kicked it off right from there, lifting weights. He ended up working with my father and I, construction. He was a pizza delivery driver for a long time. And I guess now he's bartending or something down there. But he's an interesting fellow. You know, he's trying to figure life out. And he actually just got engaged to a black chick. So good for him. You know, right on. She's an opera singer. And so, anyway, he managed to get a hold of some shrooms. Thank goodness. I've been dying for these things. It's been so long. It's been over a decade since I took them. And he's like, oh, yeah, we'll split them. I text him later. I'm like, bro, I want to be tripping. Like, I want full hallucinations. Like, this is a very spiritual event for me. Like, I'm not just going out to the woods to party. I want to go out to the woods and, like, have a revelation. And, you know, you got to be careful with this kind of stuff, hallucinogens. You can't go into it with a goal, right? Because if you try to control the trip, you're in for a bad time. You got to let that stuff go. I remember I was tripping on acid, and I wasn't trying to control the trip. I just taken too much, and I had a bad trip. Maybe I was going to have a bad trip no matter how much I took. But the characters on the computer screen, we were watching Avatar The Last Airbender. They're like, oh, you know, the police are going to come. What are you going to do when the police show up and shoot you? Like, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, what? Like, it was real. It was crazy. You know, every time the snow came, I was shivering. Ooh. Every time the, you know, they were in the desert, we were taking the blankets off. We're like, oh, we're so hot. So it was pretty wild. One of the things I noticed the difference between acid and shrooms, though, is and I don't know if this is true for everybody, but acid just feels so manufactured. You know, I just feel it in my brain. Like, usually when I take I feel like, and it makes it sound like I take acid a whole bunch of times. But that's not true. I've actually only taken it three times, shrooms twice. Second time was weak, man. I barely had any effect. But the first time, what was crazy is I had been growing shrooms, and so we took a healthy dose, and just very mild, I don't want to call them hallucinations, definitely not that, just mild bending of reality, you know, walking around the sidewalk, everything super green, you know, just life, you know, Mama Nature seemed more present. And I had taken the ones that I tried out, and then I go back to my room partway through this trip, and I flip up my my little flag or something that was covering up the tank, and boom, whoa, penis envy. I had a giant dick growing. The first batch that I had was the B plus cubensis. It's kind of mainstream, your typical shroom. But I was also growing some penis envy just to see in it. It looks like a big white dick. And the thing with fungus is it doubles size every hour. It gets twice as big. They're like 90% water or something. So it's just like, whoop, 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 whoop. And so I was like, oh, fuck. You know, so I cut that off, ate it raw, you know, didn't even dry it out. Kind of tore up my belly a little bit. Wasn't too pleased about that. But my hope is that this time, the psilocybin, I can take a massive dose. So after I texted him that, he goes, all right, well, I got six cubes, and I'll take two, and you can take four, and you'll definitely be feeling the effects. Well, I'm still not feeling great about that. I mean, we'll have to touch base, because like I said, I want to be gone. So I ended up texting the neighbor, and sure enough, he can get me four tabs of acid. And so when we get back from the trip, or when I get back from the backpacking trip, I'll get the acid off of him. Four tabs for $30. I mean, that's pretty cheap. I mean, this guy, though, he claims he's like a heavy swinger or something, though. So maybe for him, you know, it's so bulk. But whatever, fuck that shit. So I'll bring that with me. And then hopefully I can convince my buddy to take the acids while I'll take the shrooms. I just don't know a lot about LSD. You know, it's just, I need to do a little research. I was listening to a podcast with Joe Rogan and some other guy, some old fellow, fairly recent podcast, and they were talking about DMT. That sounds sweet. That sounds heavy. That sounds like soul-changing. But I have no idea how to get a hold of that. I mean, I guess I could ask the neighbor, right, Mr. Oh, I can get anything you need. Oh, except shrooms, right, fucker. I don't know. But here's the thing. A smoking pot, it reduces your sense of smell. And my sense of smell is mildly improving. I can't say too dramatically. I will say, kind of scary this time, my dreams did not come back until two nights ago. So that would make it, what, day five? Usually by like day three, I start to dream a little bit. So don't know if it was from the booze, probably from the booze, blacking out. That's probably not good for your brain. I think somebody told me that one time. Blacking out is unhealthy. Yeah, go figure. So listen, and that's one of the reasons why I'm trying to quit, though, is it dulls my mental function. It's just you don't remember stuff, you're not performing the way you were, limited access to vocabulary, and who, of course, do you respect in life or at your workplace? Who gets the credit? It's the people who are articulate. It's the people who can, you know, state their position and make a persuasive argument. So I need to get that back. I'm a teacher, I'm a husband, you know, hopefully someday a father, and, you know, I want to be a leader. So honestly, my bad pot experience is, you know, just wasting time trying to track it down. And also dwelling on trying to get some, too, and, like, thinking about it. So that was all a waste of time. I think about the money side of dope. I don't really think I spent a ton of money. I'm not one of those people who is smoking an eighth a day. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a one-hit Charlie. But the hours? What could I have done with all the hours? Oh, man, I could have built an empire. No question. No question. Weed stole that from me, and I permitted it to do so. Let myself get distracted. And speaking of distractions, getting rid of the Instagram. Can't take that anymore. What the fuck is the point? I haven't been posting anything because I don't want them to have my face. And, was using it basically just to look at softcore porn. But hey, guess what? Porn free, full week. That's pretty cool too. Big deal. Hoorah. Pat myself on the back. The Instagram is going. The Twitter might stay. And I'm torn because Twitter is so fucked up, right? The censorship is insane on Twitter. But, you know, I'm following some, I hate to call them right-wing guys. They're just guys who think for themselves. And they usually can comb through and pick out decent news articles. I don't give a fuck what they have to say. I just want to see what the news articles are. I just want to know what's going on in the world, because they can usually get it before the mainstream media does. And the mainstream media is so biased. It's so, it's hard to even trust, right? I can't trust Fox. I can't trust CNN. So at least if I'm getting this, like, amalgam, this just, like, little, here's a random website, here's a local station, I'm kind of getting that through these people I follow, and boy, it's messed up. The IRS hiring all these fucking tax collectors. Who do you think they're going after? It's going after people who make under $400,000 a year. They're not going after the billionaires. They're not going after the millionaires. They're going after you, and they're going after me. And in particular, they're going to be targeting people who are politically on the right. So anyway, I got to get off the social media. Why am I giving them my money? Why am I giving them my time? And honestly, even though I'm looking at the news, what has it really done for me? Right? Like, oh, okay, cool. There's evil and corruption in the world. Okay, here's some more evil. Here's some more corruption. It changes nothing. It doesn't change anything for me. Now, it does make me more aware, right? Because there are a lot of teachers who did not know that pre-K students were going to drag shows and drag queens are working with elementary school kids and teach them how to tuck dollars into their pants. Like, it's pretty fucked up, if you ask me. Real fucked up. When you think about all the other things that a kid could be learning, right? They could be learning about invasive species. They could be learning about, if you want to teach them about their body, teach them about pregnancy. All right? My wife is a pediatric ICU nurse. And the number of people who come in and know nothing about taking care of a developing baby or how to take care of a baby that is now born, nothing. They are so woefully unprepared, and they know nothing about their bodies. So the list goes on and on of things that we could be teaching 10-year-olds that has nothing to do with their gender, okay? And listen, don't come at me, all right? I'm all about the LGBTQ2SA+, all right? All right? My wife's sister, lesbian. Friend of mine, gay, but married with two kids. I took him to his first gay bar. So I've been to a couple drag shows. She sat right on my lap. Okay, I've been an ally. Like, don't come at me. I'm like, dude, suck my dick. Yeah, get the fuck out of here. It's happened. I was really cocked. And we were at a gay bar. And there's a really funny story. Really funny story. So I'm at the gay bar with another friend of mine, right? And I like them. I like gay bars because I didn't have to pay for drinks. So anyway, I'm looking around for the bathroom. And I walk in, and I'm like, holy shit, there's pictures of naked women everywhere on the walls. I'm like, this is fucking awesome. This is great. And so, I'm taking a leak, and I'm looking around, and I'm confused. I'm just like, man, it seems kind of weird, though. Like, very strange to see all these naked women. And the dude had followed me in. And so as I'm washing my hands, I'm like, hey, why are there all these naked chicks on the wall? I mean, isn't this a gay bar? And he looks at me, he goes, yeah, but this is the girls' room. I was like, bro, you didn't tell me that? And I boogie out of there, and I go over, I check the guys' room, and sure enough, it's, pictures of fucking ball sacks and assholes. I'm like, oh, why didn't you say anything? He's like, well, I thought you knew. You just went in here. It's like, get the fuck out of here, homie. Anyway, I got really, really fucked up that night, and sure enough, got in the bathroom, and this fucking dude, not actually different guy, this dude comes in with his, like, quote-unquote lesbian friend, wicked ugly chick. Like, I'm sorry, ladies, but this chick was nasty. She was super fat, like, did not have great hygiene. And anyway, this guy had been buying me a lot of drinks, right? So I was like, all right, I'll oblige this fellow. So he goes down, and he starts blowing me, and she joins in. She's like, I just enjoy giving blowjobs. And it's like, really? Really? Is that true? Or are you secretly maybe a straight chick who just never could get any man because you didn't take care of yourself? And, you know, maybe she was abused. Maybe men treated her really poorly. You know, I mean, I don't know, right? Like, I'm not, listen, I don't know this chick's journey, but I do sometimes think that folks in that community, and again, don't fucking persecute me, but sometimes I think people in that community are just looking for love. And they don't care where they get it from because, you know, love is important. They want to feel a sense of belonging. But to say that you're like a lesbian, but, you know, you also like dicks, maybe you're not a lesbian. Maybe you're bisexual. Or maybe, what is that one? The whole pansexual thing where it's like, I'm not really sexually attracted to anybody. Like, it's all good. You know, I probably fucked that one up. But listen, I'm just throwing that out there. So anyway, kids, bad drag shows, don't do it. I think it's a terrible idea. A lot more important things for them to learn. First aid, they can learn CPR. I mean, come on, life-saving skills. But I digress. Listen, I want to be somebody that people listen to. And that's another reason why I'm quitting the dope. Because you exclude a pretty dramatic portion of society if you're a big fat pothead. And you exclude even more people when you're unable to articulate your stance on issues, when you're unable to communicate clearly, and when your performance is simply average. If you're going to be average, who the fuck wants to listen to that? So what was crazy is I was exercising. What was I doing? I think I was running. Like the day before I most recently quit, or no, it was like the day after I quit. Yeah, it was the day after I quit. And yeah, I think so. I don't know. Anyway, it was fairly recently, and ooh, I actually got a little bit high, and that shocked me because I am super lean. Like I am sickly lean. Not sickly in the sense that I don't have any muscle in my body. You know, I'm still carrying a little, you know what, a little heft. Rocking the 172 pounds, 5'10". But I don't normally experience that. Like that's the kind of stuff that my super stoned out friends, like early in college, would talk about in high school. You know, they'd be running the mile and then they'd get high at the end of it because THC is fat soluble. And so for me to get high in a workout is like, it never has happened. But at that time, I had just been smoking super aggressively. You know, again, trying to use up my stash, right? Oh, it's the last time I'm ever going to smoke. And so that was pretty wild. So in terms of a symptom or a side effect of quitting, you got to watch out for that because that's going to sneak up on you. But maybe it's a great excuse to start training. Hey, I quit smoking dope. I'm going to still lift a bunch of weights so that I can get high. Good idea. I recommend that. And in terms of training, I'm just trying to rebuild my normal function, man. Just trying to make sure I can, you know, run 3 miles in under 21 minutes, making sure I can, you know, bench my body weight, you know, for a couple sets, making sure I can rep, you know, 10 pull-ups, like that kind of thing. I don't think I'm quite at 10. I'm probably at 10 pull-ups. I know for sure I can do 8. Definitely not at repping my body weight on the bench yet. You know, lifting weights just hasn't been the priority because of my back, but getting closer to that, getting real close. And so, yeah, listen, I love you guys. I really appreciate you sending me a few messages. Not everybody has. We've had over 12,000 downloads, motherfuckers. 12,000. Which I suppose in the grand scheme of things, considering this podcast has been going now for at least 1 year, isn't a lot, but when you think about it, even if you're somebody who's downloaded every single episode, there's only like 40 or 50 episodes. And so 10,000 minus, you know, 12,000 minus 50, you're at 11,950. And I can tell you, you're not alone. That's basically what I'm trying to say. You're not alone. And it's from countries all over the world, too. Obviously, predominantly America. Quite a few in New Zealand or not. Shout out. And some Australians, some Germans. I can't see actually where you guys are. I can just see some of the cities. But it's everywhere. It's the whole globe. The whole motherfucking globe is struggling with this thing. And it's funny. What if I started one that was like, oh, quitting sugar. Quitting this, quitting that. You know, we all have our thing. We're all trying to get better. We're all trying not to be average. We're all trying to put our lives back together. You know, that's great. Keep it up. So I got this guy, this homie. We will call him Joseph. Joseph. He was looking for a book or an audible to listen to on quitting marijuana and came across the podcast. And so he started on the very first one. So he's got a lot of listening to do, loving it so far. Man, I was probably hardcore on that first one. I haven't listened to it in a long time. The format has changed a little bit. Maybe I should go back. But he said, listen, so far what he's heard is that my story is his story. And so he's going to share it with you guys. He's 32, about to have a family. And didn't smoke when he was younger. Hated it because his brother was a pothead growing up. Then he found Eddie Bravo. And you might know of him because, you know, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, if you're into that. He's very famous in that community. This is like 2009-ish, he finds Eddie Bravo. And, quote, he promoted weed hardcore back then and probably still does. So I watched a few films, and he recommended The Emperor Wears No Clothes. I started to smoke here and there. Then I joined the Navy in 2011. So I can probably count how many times I smoked before I joined, maybe 20-ish. I got out in 2018, and I struggled with, you know, will I smoke again or not? I was so close to saying weed isn't for me because I felt the same way you felt. I grew up with a speech impediment and was in speech therapy for several years. So when I get high, I can't formulate sentences or even act intelligent at all. I went to Colorado when I got out of the Navy, and then my journey started. I was 28 and dabbled into weed. I'd say I smoked maybe once a month after that for about 2 years, then life happened. Boom. That's just like me, homie. Anyway, newer career, baby on the way, and all that stress. I have never smoked this much in my life, and it has started this year. I'm to the point of smoking daily, and I'm going to try to stop today. I got some sleep aid stuff from BPN, hoping it'll help. Anyways, this email has no real point, but to let you know, please keep posting and telling your story. Way behind, but it's nice to hear somebody that seems like they're fit and struggle with weed, because I would say I'm fit and have an internal fight since my friends that do smoke don't work out. And carpe diem. Thank you. Thank you, Joseph. That's pretty cool, man. I really appreciate that message. You are, I don't know if you're going to skip all that other stuff where I kept failing and mumbling. And God, I have so many bullshit episodes in there. And this might be one of them, too. You guys might be saying, shut the fuck up, motherfucker. It's possible. It's late. Like I said, I've hit the hysterical stage of being tired. Unfortunately, the washer wasn't turning on, and so I spent a lot of time trolling the web trying to figure that out, even though I was supposed to be packing, and turns out I just didn't have the water turned on, because my father had come to the house while the countertop guy was here, and he must have done some piddling back there and turned it off, so hey, what do you know? Simple solution, praise the Lord, but frustrating to lose that 40 minutes. If you are tired of listening to me speak, we are about to get into the good book, The Holy Word. And I did go to a Quaker service today. I found out my preacher, the preacher is a lesbian. Hey, that's cool. Whatever. It's all good, man. Doesn't bother me. She kind of, I not hinted at it, but like I put it together after. Like things she had said in the past now all made sense to me. But she had said, you know, she's talking about things that the world's trying to make us afraid of. You know, oh, you're trying to make us afraid of minorities. Oh, we're trying to be afraid of this or that. You know, trying to be afraid of the LGBTQ community, this and that. And it's like, okay, lady. It ended up being, I knew what side of the political aisle she was on. Let me put it this way, because she didn't say, oh, they're trying to make us afraid of parents. At the school board, trying to make us afraid of parents who, you know, care about what their kids are learning. Trying to make us afraid of people who fly the Gadsden flag. You know, trying to make us afraid of people who believe the Constitution is the most important document to this country. Because I can tell you, that's what they're doing, right? Trying to make us afraid of a disease that killed less than 2% of people. And yes, my wife was on the adult COVID unit, so get the fuck out of here. I actually do have some, I mean, secondhand knowledge, right? But I'm living with a woman, and it was overwhelming for her. But she, when she described the patients, because I would kind of push her, describe them, old, super obese, like 400 pounds. Like, those were the people who were dying. And you might know somebody younger who died. Like, I'm not saying that hasn't happened. But, you know, hey, get this experimental jab. Now everybody's like supposedly falling over dead. Listen, I'm not keen on it, all right? I'm not keen on injecting your kids when they were 0.00. I did the math one time back in the height of the curve. It was like 0.00001. It was like 4 or 5 zeros and then a 1. And that was the percent of all the people who died that were under the age of 5. And those kids were super fucked up. They had comorbidities. You know, they were missing a lung or something. I digress. The point is, went to church today. Heard a decent sermon, learned my pastor was a lesbian, doesn't bother me at all, but also learned that she's, you know, kind of on the left side of the aisle, and that made me a little more irritated because, you know, I don't feel like preaching is supposed to be too political. I mean, you should be weighing in on things that are happening in the world, right? Because, you know, the authority is right here in the Holy Bible. you know, if something's going on that doesn't line up with God's word, it's up to the church to speak out. You know, my dad blames a lot of the problems of the world on the church because we quote unquote, you know, not really me, but just because, you know, I'm kind of a fledgling in the old church side of things here, but we, the church, you know, did not stand up and say what's wrong and what's right. So anyway, I'm just saying it. If she was talking about things that the world is trying to make us afraid of, I just wish she had said, you know, something on the other side of the aisle to create a little more balance. I'm thinking about sending her an email. Anyway, here we are, Proverbs chapter 23. When you sit down to dine with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you, and put a knife to your throat if you are a man of great appetite. Do not desire his delicacies, for it is deceptive food. And the little note down here, because he might be entertaining you with ulterior motives. The good hospitality may have a sinister purpose behind it. Okay, verse 4. Do not weary yourself to gain wealth. Cease from your consideration of it. When you set your eyes on it, it is gone. For wealth certainly makes itself wings like an eagle that flies towards the heavens. Do not eat the bread of a selfish man or desire his delicacies. For as he thinks within himself, so he is. He says to you, eat and drink, but his heart is not with you. You will vomit up the morsel you have eaten and waste your compliments. Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words. Do not move the ancient boundary or go into the fields of the fatherless, for their Redeemer is strong. He will plead their case against you. Apply your heart to discipline and your words and your ears to words of knowledge. Do not hold back discipline from the child. Although you strike him with the rod, he will not die. You shall strike him with the rod and rescue his soul from Sheol, or jail. My son, if your heart is wise, my own heart will also be glad, and my innermost being will rejoice when your lips speak what is right. Do not let your heart envy sinners, but live in the fear of the Lord always. Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off. Listen, my son, and be wise, and direct your heart in the way. Do not be heavy. I'm so sorry, you guys. Do not be with heavy drinkers of wine, or with gluttonous eaters of meat, for the heavy drinker and the glutton will come to poverty, and drowsiness will clothe one with rags. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth, and do not sell it. Get wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice, and he who sires a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. For a harlot is a deep pit, an adulterous woman is a narrow well. Surely she lurks as a robber, and increases the faithless among men. Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger over wine, those who go to taste mixed wine. Do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it goes down smoothly. At the last it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Your eyes will see strange things, and your mind will utter perverse things, and you will be like the one who lies down in the middle of the sea, or like one who lies down on the top of a mast. They struck me, but I did not become ill. They beat me, but I did not know it. When shall I awake? I will seek another drink. So we got some warnings here about alcohol. And dang, man, that one kind of hits home because I fucked up that one, right? I got so fucking cocked. God dang. I mean, goodness gracious. I got to stop cussing and putting the Lord's name in vain. So, hey, let's go with our the old quote of the day here. We all have dreams. But in order to make dreams come into reality, it takes an awful lot of determination, dedication, self-discipline, and effort. That was Jesse Owens. Remember him? Black man running in the Olympics, showing those Germans what the hell was up. Amen. Go get him. Hey, guys. I will see you in... I don't know how many days. I'll see you Saturday. Maybe even Friday night. Hopefully I can say no to my brother. I will say no to my brother. Put my father first. Honor thy father. You know, tell my brother, hey man, I don't need to smoke. This trip's about dad. And that's all she wrote. Remember to find satisfaction in the struggle and peace in the moment. We'll see you next time.